WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie Wind Talkers, directed by John Woo, is based on the stories of Navajo code talkers during World War II. My guest Roy Hawthorne was one of those Navajo Marines who relayed and received secret tactical battlefield messages in a code based on the Navajo language. The Navajo language was used because it is an extremely complex, unwritten language that was virtually unknown outside of the Navajo world. The idea for the code was developed by a World War I veteran who was the son of a missionary and was raised on a Navajo reservation. He knew that other Native American languages had been used as code during World War I. About 400 Navajo Marines were trained in the code and sent to the South Pacific. The Japanese never broke the code. The Navajo code had two elements, the alphabet and the vocabulary. Each letter of the English alphabet was given a Navajo code. There were no existing Navajo words for the military equipment. Roy Hawthorne told me they created a new vocabulary.
We searched for the characteristics of any particular piece of equipment, whether it be an airplane or submarine or tank. And then we would take these characteristics and match them with similar characteristics. If in the air, then with a bird. And of course, a reconnaissance plane is unarmed, does not engage in battle, and normally flies at night. So an owl has similar characteristics. So the reconnaissance plane became an owl.
Could you say something in code for us that for instance, like we need air cover or artillery strikes?
Okay.
And what did you say?
Attack by enemy forces, hill 2, 3, 6.
And that was in straight Navajo, or was there like an elaborate code within the language?
It was a code. No other Navajo that did not attend the code school would make heads or tails of that.
What was one of the most important messages you had to relay in code?
One particular experience that I recall was on a combat patrol. And my task was to radio back into our headquarters. Our situation, what enemy we might come upon, and just make a report as the commanding officer gave me the information. So we came upon an enemy force that was quite superior in numbers and in weaponry, and they were very well dug in. They had dug trenches. Where their weapons, such as machine guns and mortars, were trained on these trenches. So if an enemy force approached them and tried to take cover in these trenches, they would be immediately killed. And we found that out very, very quickly. We were pinned down, and we stayed pinned down for, I believe it was about 2 days. And had all manner of fire, light machine guns, heavy machine guns, mortar fire, and just about anything you can think of, including grenades. During this incident, the antenna of my backpack radio was shot off. So as a result, our communications were cut off. So I used some of the field wire and some of the tools that we had that I had carried with me, and was fortunate in putting the antenna back on the radio. And so when it was back in service, my commanding officer, who was a first lieutenant, gave me a message to send to the to a command ship. That we needed airstrikes. And so that got through. The message was in Navajo code. It got through, and in a matter of just a short time, we had that airstrike, and that saved the day.
In the movie Wind Talkers, each of the code talkers is assigned a Marine whose job it is to protect the code, to protect the code at all costs. That might mean protecting the code talker, but it might also mean that if the code talker is about to be captured by the enemy for interrogation, it would be the Marine's job to kill the code talker so that they couldn't, under pressure or under torture, reveal the secrets of the code. Now, is that something that was created for the movie, or were each of you actually paired with a Marine who was prepared to kill you if necessary to protect the code?
Well, as far as I know, that story is unverified, and it wasn't created by the movie, however. I don't know exactly how it came about, but it certainly is unverified. I call it a myth about the bodyguard. As I think about that, it says to me that if a bodyguard was assigned to a code talker to shoot him when capture was imminent, that says to me that we would have been classified as a lower class Marine, as a second class Marine, if there were such a thing, that was unreliable and untrustworthy. And that just never occurred.
I'm sure for some of the Marines who you serve with, you were the first Navajo they had ever met, or perhaps even the first Native American they had ever met. How were you treated by the men that you served with? Did you come against any racism?
Personally, I did not. Now, there is always a touch of racism wherever people meet, but I did not experience that. I experienced the opposite of racism, and by that I mean that I found that that my compatriot Marines that had never come in contact with an American Indian stood in awe of the American Indian. They wanted to know what made him tick and so forth, and they had a lot of misunderstandings, such as. Many believe that our eyesight was better than 20/20, more like an eagle's, which is not true, and that we could pick up an arrow and hit the bullseye every time, which was also not true. But on the other hand, we had similar misunderstandings about the white boys.
Why did you want to join the military? And I ask that in part because a lot of people might assume that as a Native American in the 1940s, you would have felt very disenfranchised by your country as opposed to wanting to risk your life to defend it.
I had, during my boyhood, my dreams and my aspirations were to be a military person. And so when the day came that I was of sufficient age to join the military, that was the day when I held up my hand and swore allegiance to the country. And that was a fulfillment of all of my boyhood dreams and all of my aspirations. Other than that, all Native Americans have intricate ties with the land. I mean, the land is our life. And although Native Americans never owned land, that was not a Native American philosophy to own land, yet we had a control of a certain area of land that we used. And so we were inextricably tied to the land. So when an enemy would attempt to seize the land, we would rise up against them. And all of America we considered to be, in Navajo tradition, our mother. And all of the, say, over 300 broken treaties by the United States, notwithstanding, we still loved America, and we still love America today.
What made you want to serve in the military? Why was that your boyhood dream? And what kind of encounters had you had with the military, either in person or through movies?
I had absolutely no encounters with the military. I read a book once by Julius Verne concerning Captain Nemo and his submarine, and I wanted to be a submariner. But I was directed to the Marine Corps by federal legislation. But I just had that dream. It was a spirit of adventure that I had within me, which I still do today.
My guest is Roy Hawthorne. He was a Navajo code talker during World War II. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest Roy Hawthorne was one of about 400 Navajo Marines during World War II who served in the South Pacific, relaying tactical battlefield messages in a Navajo code. The work of the Navajo code talkers is the basis of the new movie Wind Talkers. Now, your knowledge of Navajo helped your country win the war, but when you were a child growing up on the reservation, were you encouraged or discouraged from speaking in your language?
I guess I could say I was both encouraged and discouraged. And what I mean by that is that we lived in a sector of the reservation where we had a public school. So I attended public school where your language was encouraged, English and Navajo. And then I also attended a Bureau of Indian Affairs school that was a school run by the federal government for Indians. And at the Bureau of Indian Affairs school, we were definitely discouraged from speaking the Navajo language. And if we did speak the Navajo language and were caught doing so, there were some punishments that were quite severe, beginning with a washing of the mouth with lye soap, and then even more severe punishment.
Are there many people left who can speak Navajo fluently now?
I suppose that there are probably, I would say, 70%.
70% of the Navajo still speak it?
Yes. That's an estimate.
How often do you use the language now?
I use it on a daily basis. Where we live, of course, is the Navajo Nation. Many Navajos. We are surrounded by Indians. we're not John Wayne or anything, but we're surrounded by Indians. And I have a daily use of the language. I have a Christian radio program over the Navajo Nation radio station, and I speak in the Navajo language on that program.
Tell me what you think are the pluses and minuses of living on a reservation as a Navajo.
Well, there are very few minuses, but I'm prejudiced, of course. But some of the pluses are that there where my house is, every morning that when I wake up, I open my eyes and I can look out across the hills and the valleys and see scenes that are picture postcard quality. And so I tell my wife, every day is a vacation for me. It's the next thing to heaven on earth. Those are the positive things. Some of the negatives would be more for the younger generation, the lack of jobs, the lack of housing, the lack of infrastructure, that type of thing.
Now, the Navajo code that you used during World War II wasn't declassified until the late 60s. So until then, those people who were Navajo code talkers like yourself, I believe you had to keep it basically a secret because it was still a classified secret. Were you able to tell your friends and family about the nature of the work that you did during the war?
We never spoke of what we did during the war. Not those that we were intimate with, like our immediate family. I served, my brother and I served, in fact, two brothers served as Navajo code talkers. But we never spoke one word to one another concerning our job as Navajo code talkers.
After you came home, you never spoke about it.
We never breathed one word about it. not to the brothers that I served with, not to my mother, not to anybody.
Would you have liked to talk about it?
We never even thought about that. I mean, it was just something that we immediately placed in the inner resources of our mind.
So when the government declassified this, did they let you know and basically give you permission to tell friends and family about what you did?
Well, when the code was declassified, some friends of the Navajo Code Talkers who had served in the Marine Corps encouraged some of us to form an association, which we still have today. And from that association of Navajo Code Talkers grew a camaraderie that reached out to families and to other people in relating the story of the Navajo Code Talker.
Were you given one of the Medals of Honor last year by the government, by President Bush?
Yes, ma'am. Not by President Bush. That was the gold medal ceremony in Washington. The bulk of the code talkers who served were awarded the Congressional Silver Medal.
I see.
In the Navajo capital of Window Rock, Arizona.
And when was that?
That was in November of last year.
Mm-hmm. Proud to have it?
Yes, I am. However, my recognition and my reward really came when I became a Marine. I mean, that's when I felt that I'm recognized, and I believe all of the Navajo people felt that way. All the Navajo Marines felt that way, and that was because before that, we were looked at as perhaps second-class citizens, not allowed to vote, and as people who had very little ability. But when we became Marines, then we were recognized as not second-class, but first-class, and people that had equal ability with other Americans.
One last question. What did you think of the movie Wind Talkers?
The movie Wind Talkers got before the public, or is getting before the public, the Navajo Code Talker story. It does portray the vital need for an unbreakable code. And it does show that the code was developed by a group of Navajo young men.
But did you like it? Did you like the film?
There are some things that I did not like about it. I appreciated the storyline. Other things I did not appreciate.
What bothered you?
The language.
You mean the Navajo language? You mean obscenities?
No. Obscenities, yes. I don't object to some of the swearing. That does happen, but the obscenities, I really must object to that because that didn't happen like the movie portrays it to happen.
Do you just assume people in war would speak that way?
Well, that is definitely an incorrect assumption. Some did, but it wasn't. I classify it as what we might call overkill. I mean, too much emphasis on it. There wasn't that much.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, I appreciate sharing with you the story of the Navajo Code Talkers.
Roy Hawthorne was a Navajo Code Talker during World War II. The stories of the Navajo Code Talkers are the basis of the new John Woo movie, Wind Talkers, starring Nicolas Cage. We'll talk with Cage tomorrow. This is Fresh Air.